I now call to order the Paradise Town Advisory Board meeting for January 31st, 2023.
Turn yourself on. There you go.
It's new.
See, and you got all the lights to tell you what's going on.
If you'll all join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, please have the record show that all members of the board are in attendance. Can I get county staff introductions?
Juan Velasquez, Clark County Commissioner, in his office.
And from planning?
Judith Rodriguez from Lorenzo Glen.
Okay. And Vivian, would you like to be introduced?
Sure.
Vivian Polarski from the Planning Commission. Okay. We have a public comment period. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, but clearly state your name and address, and please spell your name, last name for the record. If any of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. I'd also like to point out, if you can make sure all your cell phones, any other devices you have are turned off so we don't interrupt the meeting. And when you come up, if you'll please use the microphone. Do we still push the button up?
No, it should.
It should be on? Very good. You'll state your name and address for the record and then tell us what it is you'd like to do. If you do need to have a conversation with your neighbor, we please ask that you step outside to do so. Okay, can I get approval of the minutes for January 10th, 2023?
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes of January 10th, 2023.
We have
no changes.
We have a motion on the floor for the approval of the minutes for January 10th, 2023. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of the agenda for this evening, January 31st, 2023.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the agenda with the following changes. Holding item 1, DR220582, Capstone Christian Academy holdover design review at the request of the applicant.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to approve the agenda with the holding of item number 1, Capstone Christian Academy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So if anyone here is here regarding the Christian Academy, that is going to be held again to the February 7th. Well, no.
No, the 14th.
The 14th, February 14th meeting. So you're welcome to stay and attend the rest of the meeting, but that item will not be heard until the 14th. Okay.
Madam Chair, if I'm looking at this right, they requested it be held until February 21st.
February 14th for town board and the 21st for planning.
Yeah. Thank you.
They'll show up one day. All right, informational items. We have reviewed the Paradise Town Board bylaws. Do we need to vote on these today?
So okay. We're going to have copies of bylaws. We are not voting on bylaws any longer unless there are any requested changes to bylaws. And if we follow the bylaws, we have our location where we meet, our dates of the month that we meet, times. So we want to review them. If there are any concerns, you can certainly email me with any changes requests, and we can get on to future challenges. Otherwise, no opening.
And these are the same as the previous years?
Yes.
Okay. All right, moving on to planning and zoning. Item number 2, VS220658 Lee A and A Family Limited Partnership, vacate and abandonment easements of interest to Clark County located between Russell Road and Quail Avenue and between Polaris Avenue and Century Park Drive within Paradise. Is the applicant here for item number two?
Here.
Come on forward. You can use the microphone and give us your name and address for the record.
My name is Kylie Loa, and my address is 11299 Glowing Avenue.
And tell us what you'd like to do.
We would like to vacate a driveway easement. It's no longer needed for the site design.
Okay, is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item?
Can she give us some explanation as to what she's doing on
that? I'll have it. Let me close it real quick and then you can ask her. Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'd like to, if you could put it up on the viewer so we can see, you can explain to us what you're doing.
Oh my God, we got a viewer too.
She's Elmo. Catching up.
His name is Elmo.
There we go.
This is the existing driveway easement here. And we will be using this shared driveway here. So here, we want to indicate this easement.
And what are the roads there? The streets?
Sorry, what's that?
The streets there, can you orient us to what this property is?
This is Polaris and Russell. Right across the stadium is right over here.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And in and out across from the stadium. I hope you have a long queue. Right, any other questions? You want to make a motion?
If no one has anything, I'll make a motion to approve subject to staff conditions.
We have a motion to approve this item subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good luck. Item number three, VS220701 RMMJ LLC, vacated abandoned a portion of the right-of-way being Reno Avenue, located between Maryland Parkway and Escondido Street within Paradise.
David Brown, 520 South 4th Street, on behalf of the applicant. I think the projector might be a little tight, so I made copies for everyone.
Okay.
I love paper.
Oh, sorry.
I never did it. That's fine. Choose a chair.
She's not there.
This is to vacate an abandoned entrance off of Reno. There's already an entrance on Maryland Parkway. The reason for the request is it will just be, you know, closed the way the site's laid out. The traffic flows through. However, there will still be access for emergency vehicles on Reno.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? See no one, I'll close to the public and open it to the board. So is that a separate parcel? This?
Yeah, the parcel, this is a separate parcel, yes.
Okay, so if that they ever sold that parcel out, that would still be able to be opened up as a driveway?
Yes, the driveway will be there. It'll just be closed in the interim for emergency vehicles on it.
Okay, anyone else?
No.
No one else has any comments or questions? I'd make a motion to approve subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, WS220706, Dagley Revocable Living Trust, waiver of development standards to increase the front yard hardscape in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on 0.1 acres in an R2 medium density residential zone, generally located on the north side of Portobello Road, 40 feet west of Jeffrey Street within Paradise.
Hello everyone, this is Abhinya Dagli. I go by Abby, and let me introduce myself. Sorry.
Could you give us your address, please?
It's Abhinya, A-B-H-I-G-N-Y-A.
And your address?
I go by Abby.
Okay.
Last name is D-A-G-L-E-Y.
And your address?
Dagley.
Right. Address. Where you live?
2274 Portobello Road, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89119.
Thank you.
And this is my husband, Sheldon Dagley.
Hello.
And I would like to speak a little bit that I took notes, and I'm going to say good evening to everyone. And my name is Abby Dagley. I'm here today with my husband, Sheldon Dagley, to present our position to you for our waiver application. We want to thank you in advance for the opportunity to speak today. My husband and I have been homeowners and residents of 2274 Portobello Road since 1999. I'm a retired teacher of Clark County School District, where I served for 22 years. We are here today to request a waiver to increase our current landscape beyond the statutory requirements. Approximately 6 years ago, we increased the hardship in our front yard and side yard as it was getting difficult for me and my husband in our old age and on a fixed income to maintain the landscape. At that time, we were also aware of need to conserve the water and were receiving notices, advertisement from the local, different local organizations of our time. These are the true reasons for the landscape that is in our yard. At that time, aware of need to conserve about, and that's notices. The true reasons are how the landscape that is in our yard. It was never our intention to violate any local statutes or ordinances. I also want to bring to your attention that we installed pavers and the driveway is not 100% concrete. We would like to submit two photos of our home for your consideration today. The pavers are aesthetically pleasing and match the architecture of our home. This is my home, 227 Portobello. This is the garage, and from here to here. So this is the pavers, and it all matches. And this is another picture that I would like to show you. This is how my house looks like, and it's all clean. And the pavers, so from the garage is 20 feet. And my parcel number, everything up here. We take care of our yard, as you see in the picture, and always keep it clear of trash, no debris, no trash. We also have the support of our neighbors, all of whom live in our or near Portobello Road. To reflect their support, we have gathered signed petitions from our neighbors, a total of 11. We have prepared copies of the signed petitions that we would like to submit today with your permission. May I have your permission?
Yeah.
Hardship to us, financial and otherwise, to have to rip out the concrete and install to recharge the concrete. And install any grass or turf. It is our understanding that the cost of doing this would be several thousand dollars. We respectfully request, board members, that you take the totality of these points into consideration and kindly grant our waiver application. We again thank you for your time and your consideration of this matter. We are prepared to respond to any specific questions if you have. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. You did a good
Let
job.
Let me make you laugh. I was like, I have to speak.
You did a really good
and
job.
I'm like, I was a teacher. I didn't teach talk to the kids. But we got those. Oh my gosh. So back to my memory.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item?
Anybody has a question? You can ask.
Seeing no one, I'm going to close it to the public and open it to the board. I think the yellow card's going more.
Yeah, I was not sure where it was going to start.
Yeah, she gets those. Okay, so does anyone have anything?
Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I generally don't like getting rid of landscaping. I know, but I also can hear myself, but it's really hard to talk. since that delayed talk, I don't like getting rid of the landscape because generally people do it with just solid concrete and it looks terrible. I think the pavers make it more bearable, but I do think there needs to be some sort of greenery, whether that comes to a potted plant to just give it some sort of better, because with the neighborhood, with your neighbor from Google Earth, because I didn't stop your house, from Google Earth, it looks like that's the corner. He's all concrete, he or she is all concrete, and then you're all concrete, and then the neighbor next to you has a lovely yard. So I just feel it does kind of strike me as odd that I do think your house is, those papers do make it more decorative. It makes it more decorative, so I'm more inclined to agree that we would approve the waiver, but I need to turn that off. No, I can hear myself through all of your microphones. I'm inclined to hear what everyone else's thoughts are, but
I just have a quick question about, in the notice of public response, it says that it's flooded. Usually you have a slant, or as I'm going to do it in layman's terms, so the water runs away
yes,
from.
Yeah,
so one of their comments was that it flooded in the research I was doing, and I was looking at it looks like it's properly sloped? Was it properly sloped so the water runs? Because
yes,
it's saying that it flooded
sloped.
The neighbor's yard.
No, I'll show you the pictures. So this is our yard, and so channel, we made the channel.
Okay. So you do have a slope, okay. Because
yes,
I see a little bit
slope.
Of it, but their comment was is that it
yes,
did flood.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a slope, and there's a big hole. Did you have
it licensed? Did you pay a licensed contractor to put it in? Who did the work when originally it was put in?
That I don't know. We tore the bills and everything. We don't have any idea.
Okay.
And so this is all my yard, you see, and there's a big hole, so the water channel that goes to that hole, and it goes outside the street. It doesn't go in the property.
How do, there's a comment written in our...
I'm sorry, what?
I was asking, how do we find this one, the comment they made about the public response saying that the neighbor's front property was flooded next door, so where did that comment, how do I...
From the public response office.
Yeah, so was that because a complaint was made?
Probably.
So that,
they don't
that's,
go out there unless
yeah.
someone makes a complaint.
That's my major concern. If it wasn't sloped properly, then if we do get, like we have had rain, it's burning in the neighbors. So like, that's my main concern with it. That
no,
if it
there
wasn't,
is a slope on the other side. You need to take the picture. There is a slope. You can see this one. Then I take out all this. I take the debris out. I don't leave anything. Anything. It has to be clean. Right here, all this. So we made a slope. You can see the slope right here. So if the rain falls from their side of the roof, it goes here in the channel, and the water goes. And I take sometimes even my broom and let the water go. and big hole and goes right there. You can see. Right there.
From, probably
there's
had.
Another, there's a little thing and then goes in the channel and goes out from the water from there in the channel.
They probably had a heavy rain that over, that's not a very big channel, that overflowed it. The big concern, you have a zero lot line, and so your property goes to their side of their house. There's nothing, that's where your property line is. And then they, this neighbor does have landscaping on the corner. So you're the only one between the two houses because the neighbor on the other side has landscaping. What I'm going to point out to you, because I've dealt with this before, is that your neighbor has to have some way to get moisture on their foundation, or you're going to have a bigger bill than replace tearing out some concrete and putting in soil, because without moisture on their soil is going to dry out and their foundation is going to shift, and then their house is going to crack and they're going to come blame you. So you, that's, you cannot just concrete up to somebody else's house. And
so, but there's a little hole that comes out from here and there's a channel and goes there.
But the reason houses have dirt around them is so that moisture can get to the foundation and not dry it out and cause it to shift. Especially in Nevada where we have caliche, and without proper moisture, houses are gonna shift and crack. They shift and crack anyway, but you've now made it worse because one whole side of their house cannot get any moisture. And since you didn't hire a contractor that was, that went and got a permit to do this, they, no one told you, you can't go straight there. It's a nice idea to have the little trough to run down into the street, but that doesn't solve the problem that you've just affected the long-term ability of the, your neighbor's house. And trust me, if that shifts and cracks, it's gonna cost you a whole lot more than cutting out 4 foot of concrete and putting in rock and a couple of desert plants.
Right here, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you've got to give them some kind of soil to get moisture to their foundation. You're an engineer, am I wrong?
A little bit, but it's a, that's a little wrong, but it's not, not the point to do an engineering class here.
So you're saying on this side of the rocks and mud and everything, mulch or something like that?
Mulch or granite? Anything so that you give them, because you concreted right up to their house. The water that sits in the little trough there is going to start eating away their stucco. You got water sitting in a trough right on their stucco.
So put the rocks.
Did you talk to them about it at all?
I would say no, they didn't come to us at all.
Okay, and are they on one of the approvals?
No.
No.
You're all like me.
You have a legal responsibility. You have a legal responsibility.
I'm sorry, sir.
You have a legal responsibility to control the runoff from your property. And you're running the you're allowing, the way you've done this, you're allowing water to run right up to that house. Not only does there's an issue with the foundation, but there's an issue that water will start seeping into the house. And I had that problem with a neighbor, so I know.
So you're suggesting...
So you're going to have to do something to get that concrete away from that house. And you can't just... We set a precedent. If we start allowing people to landscape with concrete the entire front of the house, and everybody else starts doing it,
So
that doesn't do anything for the aesthetics of the neighborhood as well. But you're going to have to do something about that runoff that you have there. You've got another neighbor down the street where it T intersects, and he'll be hearing from code enforcement soon too.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you
well. You have another neighbor down the street who did the same thing and concreted the entire front area of their house. And they'll be hearing from code enforcement soon too. So your situation is, is that you need to get that concrete off your neighbor's house. And you need to create some type of, there has to be some soil there that can absorb that water. And if everybody starts doing it, just imagine, if everybody in the neighborhood started concreting their front of their property, and it rains, and I realize it doesn't rain much here, but when it does, it rains. Okay? That's going to create more runoff into the street and into other neighbors' yards, and you're going to have a whole mess of people suing each other over the damage to their property. So you're going to have to figure this out.
This one.
Yep. So you should do the storm?
Put the storm?
You need to, what they're saying, we're saying that you have to put some kind of buffer between the dry cement that you put and the wall of your neighbors. So what you're going to have to come back, and I would highly recommend hiring a person that is licensed and contracted to come in and make sure your slope is correct and to add the footage as mandated. And you can go on, you can go on the policy and look at the policy, and it states how much footage you're supposed to have. So I would just do that. I would go back to someone that's licensed and contracted and say, look, I need to make this per code, and they'll understand what you're going to say. Because that's what they're saying. That's what I was worried about. You have so much water that runs off that property. Once we get a lot, that little thing is going to overflow. So it's not going to go where, and I appreciate you're out there with a broom and you're shoveling it, but you can't be there when we get 5 days of rain like we just, and it just floods and it seeps underneath. And like they're saying, is it's going to cause damage to the foundation, and that's not, you can't do that. You can't cause damage to somebody else's property, and you don't want it to yours either. No. You don't want it to get so bad where the slope is running into your house because you don't have proper drainage. So that's what you need to do. And I would recommend getting a licensed contractor to do it, because then
get this done and then just block. Yep. Got you. Thank you.
It will not solve the problem.
For the level you're at now, for us, I don't know what the board's going to vote yet, but what their recommendation I'm sure is going to be is that you need to have someone come out and look at that and license contractor to direct you to the proper codes and how to install the right kind of buffer between you and your neighbor. And that's the easiest way to put it, I think, in the term you understand. You need that buffer. You need that depth between your property and their property to make sure there's proper moisture, proper flow, proper everything like that. And the only way to get that is to hire someone that knows how to do it.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion in accordance with staff's recommendation, which is the denial. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So you go to the Planning Commission on February 21st. If you want to try with them, you're welcome to, or if you want to, as we recommend, hire someone to find a better way to do it for you so you don't have issues with your neighbor in the future. Okay, item number 5, ET 22400136, UC 190668, 3900 Paradise. Resi owner SPE LLC, use permits, second extension of time for the following: one multiple family residential development and two increased density. Waivers of development standards for the following: increased building height and two reduced parking lot landscaping. A design review for a multiple family residential development on 5.4 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone, generally located 250 feet east of Paradise Road, 620 feet south of Twain Avenue within Paradise. I will mention also, we do have a protest letter on this item from Tabitha Simmons, who represents Tacos and Beer, which is in that same shopping center.
Good evening, board members. Misha Ray, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant. I have to say, I love all the technology improvements. I'm very excited to see that here at the board, so congratulations. We are here for this multifamily project that is located right behind the shopping center off of Paradise. It is 3900 Paradise. If you'll recall, there was a fire in an office building back in about 2019, so that building that was previously up there is no longer there. Kalia came in and proposed a multifamily project on this site. It's 5 stories. It is now 388 units, and they are well on their way on developing the project. Since this project was last before this board, the project was approved back in late 2019. There have been some efficiencies made, some fine-tuning of the design, so there was an administrative design review that was done in between now and then. That administrative design review was approved in late 2022. The deadline with that administrative design review gave until September of 2024, for the project to commence. And as mentioned, we're already well on our way for commencement. The issue is that the original use permit, the clock did not restart on that project. So that deadline was January 2023. So we are asking for the use permit deadline to marry up with this current administrative design review deadline, which is September 2024. Now I will say, Kalia is very excited to bring this project to this area. They have developed across the street in the Howard Hughes Center as well. They're very invested and very present in this corridor to the tune of about $250 million. They're very excited for this high-end product to come into the area. And they're very excited to work with the shopping center neighborhood we have there as well. We've learned just today that there's been some issues with parking. So some of the mitigation that took place, the shopping center itself went through some kind of facelift, some parking lot resurfacing, from my understanding, last year. So there was some valet services that were offered at that time. That's no longer happening. This screenshot or this map is from last month. So as you can see, the parking lot is back to normal. Valet has gone away. However, what the applicant has done is to mitigate kind of these construction effects of parking is to work with Howard Hughes in creating some employee parking. So there's a private agreement for 100 spaces with the Howard Hughes parking center, the parking structure across the street. Though I'm sure if there are other folks here to comment on that, I'd be happy to address any questions or comments from the board or anybody there. But we are happy to keep working with everybody in the project. So as mentioned, we're well on our way on this project. We've got several permits pulled, and we're very much looking forward to bringing this product here. I'm here for any questions and comments.
Is anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Please take the microphone, give us your name and address for the record. And
hello, good evening. My name is Valerie Varela. The address is 2804 West Oakley Boulevard, but I'm here representing Cleaver. We have a space in the shopping center that's in front of the apartment. And so I did speak with Tabitha earlier tonight, who also sent that letter. And we just wanted to come to kind of voice our concerns of what is going on. Well, we are very appreciative of the group taking over the space and building the apartments that we are, again, very much looking forward to. There is a severe issue with the parking. Currently, while all the construction is happening right now with the back end, they're taking up parking that is in the front. Yes, the parking did get redone sometime last year, and it does look really nice. However, all the construction that has continued to happen is taking over some of the parking spots that are supposed to be for the tenants, and so it's causing an issue for customers, particularly at night. We do have access across the street, as she mentioned, for employees. They do require a clicker, so it is just employee parking. It's not like guests can go all the way over the other side of Paradise, nor do I think anybody would if that was an option. So there is a concern. We do appreciate that there is employee parking that has been provided. There is a little bit of a safety concern, considering that the late night tenants are restaurant employees, so obviously they are carrying cash, and it's just a safety concern that we have. So we are using that. We do monitor our employees to be able to have more parking for the guests on site. I did a count today of all the parking spaces available. I counted about 160. There should be more, but there are parking materials throughout the complex, some at the front, and a lot of parking taken up in the back area by other construction materials as well. And that's a pretty consistent thing throughout the week, and it changes. I want to say it was yesterday there was a like a hitch in all this material. I think they're renovating one of the suites. So that's the other concern. There are some new tenants that are supposed to be going in from what we've occurred. Nothing's been confirmed per se, but we do know that other spots are trying to get leased out. So there's going to be more nighttime tenants that are coming. So while the renovations are happening, there's a concern as they're going to continue taking up parking space while the renovations are happening, in addition to the employees for those new spots and then guests of those new spots, when we already have such an issue. We get complaints on a nightly basis from customers coming in saying that they're trying to look for parking, they can't find any, constantly dealing with reservations coming in late. And I mean, as you guys know, they're hungry when they get there, they're not in the best mood since they couldn't find parking. So it's something that gets said very, very consistently that the staff has to deal with, the management has to deal with. And of course, that doesn't account for the reservations that simply just drive off because they couldn't find parking. So it is a concern that we would like everyone to kind of take into consideration if there's a solution that can be found. As mentioned, there was valet at one point that did help. It did not last. I don't, however, think that this is an issue that they were not aware of. We're in good contact with the group, with their liaison for the complex. We have expressed our severe concerns about the parking. I don't think that they just found house. We have discussed bringing back the valet. They seem open to the idea. However, they want to pass on that cost to the tenants through the camps. And so that's also a concern for us because we don't have the elevated parking to begin with. So we don't feel like that is the best or the fair solution for us to be incurring that cost. And again, we are very grateful. The space is looking amazing now. It's going to look great down the road. But from my understanding, this construction is going to be going on until September of next year. So that's about a year and a half of a business that we're going to have to continue to turn away that we just don't think is a great option for us. So
that's all I have.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak?
Yeah.
Give us your name and address for the record.
Natalia Mendoza, 2409 Wimbledon Drive. I'm representing Cleaver as well. So we came in with the intention to open Cleaver when we got a hold of Cleaver, that mall itself was kind of cooked, as you guys all know. This is before the renovations, before everything. So we invested a lot of our time and effort into rebuilding the mall. When we rebuilt, we were the only tenants that were really going in there that kind of had a name going because we have another restaurant called Herbs and Rum. That being said, when we entered the mall, there was about 300 parking spaces. And I think just to kind of take you back into time, when this project was pitched in the first place, I think it was pitched to you guys wrong. There was so much parking that was stripped away from us right at the beginning because, yes, we have the site plan here, but this site plan here, when we were bought the project, they told us it was one. Obviously, it was a mistake on our end not to really look at the contract, but I don't think any of us would have ever assumed that there were two separate projects. So when the one project burns, all the parking from this and this was removed from us. Now, if you take a look at this, all of this angle here and all of this angle here, and you strip all of that parking away, and at the time, there was only maybe three restaurants here, kind of two fast food joints here, and then Marrakesh on this side. Now we're adding another one here. We've taken the space here for a daytime spot, and now they're adding another restaurant here, and this is the parking that we have. If you take the full capacity of that per parking space, what they don't tell you is it's only enough for our employees. Where are the actual guests going to go? It's not a small problem, it's a severe problem. When we arrived, I arrived on, we'll just say Thursday or Tuesday, I'm in the parking lot for 35, 40 minutes just going in circles. All of this has been closed off, so we can't even park down the back alleys. We have issues with delivery trucks being able to drop off food. And it's just kind of the scenario we get is, you know, deal with what we're dealing with. It's not kind of a, hey, you're the tenant, what do you guys need scenario. It's more of a, oh yeah, the construction, that truck will be moved tomorrow, and it doesn't matter by that because the damage is already done, and we're kind of sitting there with our hands up. There's really nothing that we can do about any of this. But we were already limited on the parking that was stripped from us in the first place, and I think the way it was pitched to you guys is that itself, that scenario was good enough. And then the way they pitched it to us is that we were going to get the parking all throughout here. We were not aware that this was going on. We were still dealing with a massive fire in the back of the building. All of that had been done, and this kind of passed all of us. None of us really knew about it. On top of that, with them wanting us to take on the cost, or that being one of the options of the valet, even with the valet, I just want to make it clear, it's not enough parking. If you were to give us a full-time valet and that parking, we still have parking issues. If you were to take the square footage of this mall and you were to split it up for one restaurant, it is barely enough parking. Now, if you add tacos and beer, Cleaver, the project that is now going to go to the right of us, another project that we are now inserting in there, which is a daytime project, which will not affect the nighttime projects, which is a brunch spot called Middle Child. You have Marrakesh, you have, what is to the right of Marrakesh?
Musashi.
And then they have now another project that is going up top. We're adding two more full restaurants, and those restaurants have over 180 seats. One of them is actually the same square footage of Cleaver, which is 12,000. Just to give you an example of the magnitude of how big Cleaver is, Cleaver is the largest steakhouse off the Las Vegas Strip. And on the other end, they have the same capacity to fill that project. So to say that parking is a problem, if you were to allow our employees that are in the mall to fill this parking lot, we would not have enough parking. That's just for employees, and this is the reality of it. Now our employees are forced to walk across the street with $300 to $400 in their pockets every night, dressed in uniform, to walk all the way across the street, and this is Bob, so even if we wanted it to be an option, we can't have employees parking there. Now, if you take a mall that has five restaurants in it, everybody here has been to any hotel casino, you see how busy valets get. So even with a valet, it's distress, right? You can't get that many people in or out inside the funnel, right? So this is a major point of concern for us. It's a major problem for us. And the result that we're getting is just kind of a tomorrow the answer and then tomorrow the answer. So we just don't have a solution for it. That's okay. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Would you like to reply?
Thank you for the public comments. First, I'll correct my misstatement. I personally found out about this just today, as well as the partner who's working on this with me, and those conversations with our client regarding the existing issue was brought to our attention. So I just found out about this. Discussions are happening in the background between Kalita and the members of the shopping center as well. We absolutely intend to continue having those conversations, including whether an option be for valet, whether there be any kind of cost share. Those conversations just reached us today. So we are just now having those conversations and intend to make sure that this is made right for everybody. I will say that one of the conditions of approval on the project is to provide 95 parking spaces for the shopping center on the completion of the project. So there will be some, as you know, mentioned, the parking that used to be here with the previous use. Some of that will be given back in 95 spaces. That was a condition of the original approval. So there will be some additional parking brought back once the project is finalized and fully developed. And I made a mistake of leaving my notes up here while they were giving their comments. So if you have any questions or if I can address something, please let me know. I wasn't able to mark mine down.
Okay. I'm going to close it to the public and open it to the board.
Can I comment on that real quick?
No. You had your 3 minutes. I have to keep everybody on the same. When I'm reading through this, I see where it says not only does, first let me clarify for everybody. So the shopping center portion and the apartment portion are all one big project with one owner.
No, that's not. This site will be Kalita. The ownership of the parcel, I don't have personal knowledge on that. This will be run by Kalita. This will be a Kalita development. They are sharing parking calculations, however.
Okay, because that's not how, when it came to us, because I remember this, it came really fast after the fire. I was shocked how fast the plans were done, as close as the fire was. So the project was going to be one big project, and that's why all of this parking was all calculated together. With the shopping center, the family, it was all one big thing.
There is a partnership happening with the commercial development and the multifamily.
Right.
Correct.
It was presented that way as one project. So out of that, There were so many total parking spaces for the project. How many of them were for the shopping center? How many of them for residential? Because obviously there's different codes. 5 per 1,000 on a restaurant. You probably got a waiver on residential because everybody Ubers and all that stuff. So what it says is on the condition of your approval is that you had to provide at least 95 spaces on the back site for the restaurants to use to be able to keep up with their parking ratio. It doesn't say, it does not spell out that that occurs after the construction is done. It says you don't get to get to approved unless there's 95 parking spaces to be provided on the subject site for the shopping center to the west. So why, I've been on construction sites, do you have to provide an area for all your contractors to park and all your materials and all your stuff, and there should be some park area that could be set aside for the shopping center tents. And it says to the west, not across 5 lanes of paradise in a parking garage on another site and expect your employees, safety or not, just to expect them to cross Paradise Road to get over there. And no customer is going to do that. And you know, that's where I'm confused as to why this is like, oh yeah, yeah, when we get done. It takes a long time to get done. We can't expect the tenants, it's a code violation. They have to have so many parking spaces. I am sure when these new restaurants are going for their applications and it says, are there 5 per 1,000 parking spaces for this space? They're referring to what you all say is being required and saying yes. Oh, not in 2 years those people can park there, but they're getting their permits based on the fact that you said there's plenty of parking for them.
It is my understanding. So in the staff report, it does break down the parking a bit. So currently on site, they provide 171 parking spaces. And we would be, in the new project, we'd be providing 740 for a total of about, I saw somewhere that there was a total of 933, but that map does not work. So we're roughly within over 900 parking spaces in total. So we are using a shared parking calculation for that. And that does use the 171 that currently exists. My understanding of the previous condition was that it was to help accommodate what the second speaker was speaking about, losing some of that general parking that was back here. It was intended, and it's, I don't know if you can try to tweak it up here, but there will be parking spaces around the perimeter as well as some made available within the actual parking structure. That is where the 95 parking spaces that was previously conditioned would be provided. And that's my understanding of the intent, though admittedly I did not represent the application.
But that goes back to in September of 22 when you didn't come back to us for changes. They just went to staff and it said you have to give them no less than 94 parking spaces to the west. And so in the meantime, what are these people supposed to do?
My understanding as well is that that condition was also part of the original approval, not just this administrative one. I could be incorrect, though.
Well, it shows it as a separate, a condition of approval for September 22nd, 2022, is that no less than 95 spaces will be provided on the subject site. So it was reiterated on September 22nd. Don't forget, you have to give them 95 spaces. And so you've got two tenants here stating that that's not happening, that they are not being assisted with the spaces they were assured they were going to have.
I would be happy if the board is amenable. We can hold the item for 2 weeks until the meeting on the 14th so we can have further discussions with the tenants and work some of these things out. We'd be happy to offer that at this time.
I think that would be fair, and also to clarify with staff what their intent was. Because the way I'm reading this is you need to accommodate these people now, not in 2 years. I just don't think it's right to you know, as their landlord, I don't know why their landlord isn't here or... Go ahead.
I also stand by the fact you this was passed with saying that you have until January 6, 2023 to complete. So, ignoring the first extended time, these restaurant owners had the expectation that as of 27-ish days ago, they would have that 95 parking spaces. Even if the way you read it were the 95 parking spaces upon completion is true, they are, I am on their side, where they had by all rights accepted this project to be completed at least to the point that they would have parking and not have the parking taken away from them.
Understood.
So,
we're happy to have those conversations for the next 2 weeks. Absolutely.
It really needs to be on their side.
So we have a request from the applicant to hold this item until the February 14th meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And so you now know. And I would suggest to you all to talk to your landlord and get them involved. I don't know if it's the guy who's building the building or if it's somebody else, but you know they should be concerned because if you guys can't make it, they can't collect rent. And being a property manager, I know all about that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Item, that was our last item.
That was our last item.
Okay, general business, anything, Blanca? Thank you for the new equipment, by the way. I don't even remember that on our budget request.
Yeah. Well, we've been trying for years.
Oh God! I can see. We should put that down so we don't have to see ourselves on the screen anymore.
You're in the corner.
I just, like look up and see my.
I was looking out the side. Oh look, you can see.
It's okay. I was just like, oh shit, I can see myself. No.
Okay, I got one more thing to do for y'all. Comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote will may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Is there anyone who'd like to speak? No? Okay. Our next meeting is February 14th,
2023. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Oh my God, I can hear myself every single time I talk.
Really?
Yes.
I can't. Oh my God. I can hear. I'm not actually. Oh my God.